Okay. So, talking about hoods, here in San Diego, we've got way too warm of weather to be wearing a heavy leather type of hood. So then I recommend slickitup.com and getting the spandex type hoods. Why don't you go ahead and demonstrate that, Larry? Now, what this is, it obscures the eyes, but it gives the mouth, you know, some room, which is always very desirable. There you go. So then I've taken away his movement. I've taken away his vision. What I can do is that I can put headphones on. I've got big headphones I can put on him with something distracting on there to take his logical mind away while his body and his instincts are reacting very strongly to something else. It can be very jarring, you know, in a pleasant way. But the intention is to cause his senses to go into a different space. Now, the reason why bars, one, they serve liquor. The goal for the liquor is to cause you to lose your inhibitions. Fine. Then they do darkness, but with interspersed with bright lights. Okay, that's another thing to put you into a different space, a more animalistic space. They have orgiastic dancing in order to get you even further out of your head, just boogieing out there on the dance floor. So it's meant to take you out of the norm. You know, out of the, yeah, go ahead. So Larry's showing a different one from the same people with eye holes, okay? That one's more of a fashion statement, you know, where, you know, you walk into a bar wearing that, they know you mean it, okay? You know, it's intentional. Very good. Either that or it's Halloween, but go ahead.
And it's also nice for the anonymity part. You know, you're in a mixed group. It actually
disinhibits
some of your inhibitions because you got your head covered.
Mm-hmm. It's actually fun. And you can act like a totally different slut. Yes. Okay, so then I'm not saying that I do this every time, but I'm just talking out loud about why I brought that up, why I brought the leg restraints. So the leg restraints keep the feet.
What about in between?
If you got one, go for it.
I mean, but have you used it? Is it too?
No. I mean, see, my problem is I suffer from heat rash during hot weather. So just about anything, you know, makes me go, I don't want anything that makes anybody sweat. So I'm real concerned about that on other people. I don't want anybody getting any heat stroke. And of course, we've got different types of blindfolds. And yeah, I'm not sure where it is. We have multiple types of blindfolds. The one that he's showing now has lamb wool or something underneath it, so it's nice and soft. The one that is missing has holes so that if you're wearing contacts, it doesn't press against them. And
what's good about this one, it is utterly black. There's no peeking at all. And it's also very careful in the eyes because it's soft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one is just a nighty-night sleep type of sleep mask. But it's great. But what if you don't have one? What you do is you take a T-shirt, a dark one, and you put it over their eyes and then just let it fly. You know, just the neck part, put it over their eyes so they can't see. And it's draped over the back of their head. And it's just a quick impromptu blindfold. So you don't have to spend the money for it. And, you know, again, using what's available. You know, we'll talk more about that. Okay, so then I'm going to set this aside because it distracts me. Ah. Okay, so now on this. So then let's show them some of the things that I will start out with. Let's bring out the two purple floggers. Now, these floggers, as you probably already know, I'm deeply biased towards, towards flogmebaby.com. Why am I so biased towards flogmebaby.com? Because in there, why don't you bring out the $350 flogger? Here, I'll take those. Okay, that's the big one that hooks to the belt with the round head. That is not it. Big, heavy one. So this is a $350 flogger. Okay, handmade, as they all are. They have to be. Can't do this with a machine. But so let's pass that around. Now, that flogger right there, the only times I ever use it is if I don't have anything else, or if I'm just putting on a show and I'm strutting around the bar with that hanging from my belt, then it looks really good on me. But I don't find it useful. One, it's heavy. It's not something I would use on a beginner. It's got a lot of thud. Generally, only big, burly men can handle that. It's not something you would use on a small, slender person. You'd break a rib. They got to have some padding for that. But anyways, so that $350 flogger is not in any way superior to buying these for $15 each when they're on sale at all. I actually prefer this in about 18 different ways. I designed this for them. They went through at least 5 generations with my recommendations. Do I get any money for it? No, I do not. I never have. My reason for having this mission of designing these and reviewing them and all the rest of that is because we're not made out of money. At least I'm assuming. You know? And so then the idea is, if you can have a really kick-ass flogger that works flawlessly for $15 on sale and like $25 when it's not on sale, ooh, get them. So why would I have 2 for two-handed flogging? We'll be teaching that, Florentine style. But the reason why I particularly like this is because it's got this hard edge right here under the Turkish knot here at the top. You would think I would grab it like a dick. I do not, ever. Why? Because it'll hurt your wrist. Everybody assumes that you want to do what they do in the movies. But if I'm doing very loose type movement, I can do fancy moves, and I'm not hurting my wrist because my fingers are flexible. My wrists are not. When I strike, I grip it firmly and then release immediately. I think you might have seen the video. But the whole purpose of this is to be able to do things smoothly and effectively and never drop it. You know, when you get used to the loose grip, you'll drop it a lot. It's okay. You know, you learn, you know, you'll get the habit. But gripping it firmly, like I said, if I'm just going, that's pretty much what my wrist is designed for. So the looser grip is okay. So let's pass these around. And notice that there's no sharp edges. Notice it's a very nice weight. Also notice that there's good balance. The way you can tell a good flogger is when it balances like this. It's very important. I have one upstairs. The handle is probably 3 times heavier than it should be. It goes clunk like this. I don't use it. I can't imagine anybody who would want to. It's like a lead weight. I don't know why somebody would do that. But there you go. So it's passing around. Okay, so then, as I said in the video, what I'm doing is I am using this. I brought these up to the stage. I was using them for almost everything. I was throwing it all the different ways that I was demonstrating in the video. And you didn't feel any lack, did you, Larry? He was definitely feeling it. I'm going to be showing, one of the things I don't show in the video is different throws with different purposes. There's the punching type movement. There's the caressing. There's the tickling. There's all sorts of things you can do with it that I'll be demonstrating. We'll be having that on a video. But so then, okay, so then there's these. Then there's the heavier floggers. Okay, and there's plenty of those. I have one upstairs that I never use. It's called the Big Thud. I don't know. I've had it for at least 20 years. Also the bunny. Why don't you go get the bunny? It's in the chest on top of where we have the restraints. Yeah. Anyway, so what is the bunny? The bunny is a huge pure thud device that is meant to have zero sting at all. And it really is only for people with big bodies who are not going to get their ribs broken, because it's like being hit by a baseball bat, but a very soft one. What it is, it's rope surrounded by bunny fur. And if you have puppies in the house, keep it away from them, because they're going to want to dismantle it right away. Okay. But it's great for the person who is laughing at all the tops in the building saying, "That's all you got? That's all you got?" Well, you keep adding more thud to it, then sooner or later they get the hint that you're serious about it. But what if thud is not enough? So then we bring out the next step. See, one of the things I did for flogmebaby.com is that I set up a scale that I donated to them. A scale has on one side thud, which this would be as far as over as you can get on thud. It has different tails that are nice and thick rope surrounded by bunny fur. Imagine throwing that. Now, you do not do a standard type Florentine or whatever type flog style with this. You grab it with two hands and you swing it like a baseball bat. There's just no other way to do it. Yeah. Pardon?
There were quite a lot of other instruments up there.
Oh, yeah. I rarely ever use them. I've got a lot more stuff than you. I mean, these cabinets are just full of kinky gear. You guys will be finding out. But right now, we're just doing the basic stuff of what I like to use. I rarely ever use the bunny. Pardon? Yeah. And you can't, and you'll really hurt your wrist if you try and throw that thing around. So that's why you do it two-handed. Okay. Anyway, so then let's say that, why don't you hand me the Tommy Tomcat? Now, the Tommy Tomcat is one that I designed for them. I had something very similar. It cost me $430. This here is $45. Okay. It's right there in front of you. You just had it. It's out. It's right there. I'm looking at it. I'm pointing at it. Right there. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I already did it, but you forgot. Okay. So this is a Tommy Tomcat. This here is loose and flippy. There's no lead powder or shot inside here. Don't have to worry about breaking a bag inside the handle. And it's nice and loose and floppy. How did it get loose and floppy? Having submissives do this over and over and over again. It's how they build up boy points. But the reason why is because the problem that I have, and other people have gotten past it, I know, but this is just my bias. Since I'm holding it by the knob anyways, I don't grip it with the handle. People try and throw it the usual way, it doesn't work. But if I'm doing it in one smooth, fluid motion, if you have somebody standing up, and I do different strikes, it's pretty advanced. I've used this on people, and it'll really redden the hell out of their back. They'll leave lots of marks. People who are hungry for marks, it's a really good thing to do. It doesn't break the skin, but it really ruptures the shit out of their capillaries. Okay, but that is very desirable for some people. So let's talk about marks. Okay, so when I first connected with Larry and Bob, both individually, years apart, they were both no pain, no marks, no way. We're, you know, Larry's still working on the whole marks thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's strutted around with my marks on him a few times. But anyway, would you close this door, please? Thank you. Anyways, Bob adores marks. He just adores them. If I mark him up, then he struts around his neighborhood with his shirt off so that all the cars driving past can see him. You know, that sort of thing. Well, what it means is that it's a sign of status. It means that there's a lot of wannabes out there. There's a lot of, you know, posers. There's a lot of whatever. But somebody who's strutting around with, you know, some serious marks on them, it proves they're heavy players and that they cannot be disrespected by anybody. So for what it's worth, that's very powerful and very popular. So that's the Tommy Tomcat. That's all of like $45. Ooh. But anyway, so then I like it. I have videos that I'll make sure that you have the link for that show you how to use it in two ways. One when they're standing, the other when they're laying down. When they're laying down, it is nothing but fun. I'm here to tell you right now, the leg restraints right there, oh my. So let's say somebody's laying face down with the leg restraints on and their hood, so I have no idea what the hell's coming up. Well, we're going to be teaching you guys the towel snap. That's the basic throw. We'll do that tonight. If you learn how to do it accurately, you'll never have to learn it again. It's very much like a bicycle in that once you've learned it, it is perfect every time. It's just wonderful. So that you bring it up by your ear and you fire it. Okay? So then when you fire it, so then you work your way up the calves, you work your way up the thighs, you work your way across the ass, back down the other leg, back and forth, and then every once in a while, bam, hit them in the nuts. Just lightly. So you got to learn some control. Well, Bob has turned into such a pig for that. He just adores it. He'll say, it's okay, it's okay. I'll recover in a minute. Just oh, they love it. Larry, however, there's no way. Ain't going to happen. You know, his balls are way too sensitive. And so that's not his pleasure. So we don't do that. Moving on. So then, as far as any other restraints, we'll cover a lot more about this, but I was just going to say, in this restraints box, I have karate belts. What I like about them is that they're soft. They don't cut off the circulation. They can be in it longer. And, though I had them handy. I did 4.5 years of karate and weapons training. And this particular purple belt, see, I was the token gay guy in a gi at my karate school. And so when I finally earned my damn purple belt, they said, oh, you did good. You earned it. It looks really good on you. I said, I'm really surprised because I'm more of an autumn. But I said, yeah. And I said, Actually, I have a real problem. My pants keep falling down with these with the bell tie. I said, could I exchange this for some purple suspenders? Yeah, well, whatever. So it's nice and soft, launders well, it's wonderful. Man, handcuffs are great, but only for the short term, because they do really restrict the living shit out of circulation. You know, and it can be very awkward. The thing you really want to watch out for with handcuffs is putting them on so that the keyhole is in an awkward place that you can't get it to. Because one time we were doing a celebrity jail at some fundraiser, and this hardcore lesbian was very unwilling, but she was willing to be locked up for the money raising benefit. But then she got really pissed off because I didn't realize that I put them on in such a way where I had to really get in between in order to put the key in, and she was not happy. Of course, she was not a nice person anyway, so that's another topic for another time. So enough about that. So let's continue with the toy bag. So then we've gone from flogging. Now we can use a harder flogger. I don't think I have any in there. I tend not to use harder edge floggers. It's just me. See, when people come to me with their first flogger, they bought it themselves. They're very proud of it. And I go, ugh, when they show it to me. Why? Because a very common rookie mistake is that they will buy a flogger that is meant to be for an extreme pain pig. And if you're going to have one tool, you want something thuddy. You don't want something that's going to raise welts if you use it even a little bit. We'll talk more about those in a moment. Now, let's try not to drag them on the ground. Okay, thank you. Anyways, the reason why I like the softer edges, 95% of the bottoms out there love thud. It's very rare to find someone who likes sting. When you do find somebody that likes sting, hang on to them, because it can be quite interesting. Because I speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody but here, but I have a dragon in me. That's what I refer to it as. My animal name is actually Dancing Dragon, because I have some severe aggression. But in our culture, the last thing that people want from me is aggression. I'm a big fucking male, and people are terrified of me, just, you know, people cross the street just to avoid me as it is. So my way of dealing with all this aggression that's in me is by expressing it with somebody who thanks me for it. And they're looking for it, and they're glad. And so then I figured I don't have to be so afraid of the dragon inside of me that's ready to come out, because at this age of 61, I'm not in jail. I'm not dead. I've survived. I've done okay with that dragon. So I'm okay. I no longer fear it so much. I dance with it. So the key is to realize that you have the power to pull it back whenever you want. That's why I never play inebriated for any reason. If I'm demoing in a bar, I drink water, and that's it. The reason why is that I want to be responsible. You know, I want to have a good reputation, because nothing will kill a reputation faster than, oh, I knew it, he's a bad top. See, no doesn't mean no to him, and it gets around real fast. So you got to be very much of a gentleman in public. That's okay. That's not a big burden. But in private, you can be as ferocious as you want, as long as they're glad about it. That's something you negotiate. So we'll talk more about negotiation. That's coming. Anyways, so, but for right now, let's continue with the toys. So we've gone from thud to somewhat more stingy, but still not breaking the skin. And then let's go to the dragon's tongues. Now, these were made custom for me. They're a match pair. The weirdest fucking thing about this is this is blue, black, and gray. But if you have it under ultraviolet light, it becomes yellow, orange, and something else. Yeah, it's fluorescent. It's just crazy. And these are not treated in any way. And pink. Yeah. So anyway, so then what we have here, now let's go ahead and, here, let me get the light there real quick. It's starting to get dark. Okay, what we have here, it's very spanky. It's just, believe it or not, that's actual leather, but it's been treated to look more like Nogoff. But these are very nice. These are another stingy thing that makes some amazing marks. But I have seen them break the skin, too, using those tips, believe it or not, those soft, soft tips. Okay, so then now let's go for the, why don't you hand me one of the single tails? So these are all, you know, handle-type devices. We haven't gotten to spanking or paddling yet. But these here... Okay. Very rarely do people want to be whipped. The reason why is because the energy is very narrow and very focused. I'll stay. Now, a lot of people expect crack, 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 crack when you're playing with somebody. It almost never happens when to make noise. But why does it make a cracking noise? Because when you throw it properly, this goes around, and by the time it does this last little crack of the whip at the end, it's going over the speed of sound. It's making a sonic boom. Seriously, that's why. Okay? And at a future class, we will be doing crack whip lessons, including cracking lessons, because nothing gets a playroom's attention faster than cracking one of these. Heads whip around. You say, everybody clear the space. Okay. I need some room. But so then what I do is that this is what's known as a Papa Tony special with O'Kanigan whips. Carol makes these. And she actually has a thing on her website saying Papa Tony whips. So if you get one, you know what you're getting. This is measured from this point to here at 3 feet. Okay. Any longer than that, that's not included in the measurement. This is a Kevlar cracker right here. I buy them by the bag. Why? Because if you're using it on one person, you don't want to, you know, mix their skin germs and possible blood or whatever with somebody else. Okay. It's courteous. It comes off, it just undoes very quickly. It's not knotted, it's just looped. And you just pull it off and put on another one when you're going to work with somebody else. But generally what I do is that I like to make sure that it's flexy. The problem with any toy, they're all handmade, it's basically what is required, but they naturally develop a very hard curve to them. And so then you want to get them broken in reasonably fast by practicing, by doing target practice, and we'll talk more about that. But the intention is to be able to aim it perfectly, and if you're aiming for a particular spot and it suddenly veers on its own because of the bendiness, is stiff in one direction and it suddenly whacks off a piece of their ear, doesn't make you look good. So that's why I'm saying I tend to like them flexible. Now this here, what makes this a Papa Tony special, has a short loop, it has lead powder inside of the bag inside of here. It's heavy, and you can knock somebody out. If you take this and you whack somebody behind the ear, it knocks them out with the handle. That's called a knout, K-N-O-U-T, when you do that to somebody. It's like a blackjack, okay? Anyway, so then the goal here is to develop a fluid style when throwing this, which I'll be teaching you. The reason why, there's a whole bunch of different throws. There's all sorts of things. You may develop a real taste for it. There are several people that I've taught, like they really became the kings of single tailing and Florentine single tailing and all sorts of fancy stuff. If that pleases you, the internet is jam packed full of instructional videos on 80 different ways to crack. You know, personally, I just teach one major one, two actually, at least two. But the reason why I do it, you're just relaxing. I thought you were raising your hand. Yeah. So, can I try it now? Yeah. Get up there. Anyway, so then, what I have done is that if I have a submissive who's seriously into it, I have them order me a Tony special, and I only use it on them. Okay, it's about probably $220. Now, you can get one at Mr. S for $450. So just be aware that you don't have to pay the Mr. S tax. Now, I like Mr. S leather. I do. I get their newsletter. I like their stuff. But they are so costly. And if you can find a better alternative, now the Mr. Thuddy flogger that I started out with, the little purple ones, those there, I absolutely suggest that as soon as possible you get some, at least one. The reason why is because, again, if you're going to start your toy bag, this is where you want to start. Why? I could be saying, you need to get some rope, or I could say, you need to get paddles. But again, my bias, I am biased. I have found that the number one way to be the most popular person in the bar is to bring a flogger every single time. Let me tell you why. Okay. When we were at the barracks in Palm Springs during Palm Springs Leather Pride, I went out there, I brought the flogger. I mean, people know me, a lot of people there know me. But I brought out the flogger, and immediately every daddy in the building brought his boy over to me saying, I want you to flog him. I said, okay, you hold him. So I'd have the daddy lean up against the wall and hold the boy very lovingly. And I would make sure that they were both included in the scene. And I would do whatever was right for that scene. And I'll teach you how to distinguish. Because I do it differently with each person. And I'll teach you how to be able to tell when it's time to switch to the next technique. But the rest of the crowd may not have ever seen me going. But as soon as they saw it, they went, oh boy, oh boy. I've never done it before, but I'm ready to try it for the first time. And they come marching up and they smile and they're so happy. And they tell me years later, oh my God, that totally transformed my life and made me realize. Now, I haven't flogged you, have I? Okay. I had you mixed up with somebody else. Lee, who's not here tonight. Oh, he said he was going to be out of town. That's it. With Javi. Anyways, but so then I have flogged Lee a long time ago and he just can't stop talking about it, how wonderful it was and how majestic and how it totally transformed his understanding of things. Every one of you has that power, too, to bring that kind of magic to people where they just say, okay, I know who I am now. You know, it's just an amazing power. So thank you. Yes, let's pass that around. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So getting into paddling. So why don't you hand me the big leather one? Very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Okay, now I can dish it out, but I really can't take it. I can spank, but pretty soon my hand just says, okay, I'm done with that. You know, we'll talk very extensively about paddling. I'll cover that very heavily and we'll video capture it and all that. But the idea is, what I love about this leather one right here is it's very similar to spanking with your hand. It throws really nice, but you try it yourself and you throw it just the right way and it has just exactly the desired effect. So I really love this one. I don't know where it came from. I bought it, I think, at one of the very first LA Leather Prides, and this was like 2 decades ago. And he had one that was this long. It was wide. I said, oh, that's just for show, right? He says, watch this. He calls over his wife, a little heavyset woman about maybe at most 5 feet tall, probably less. He says, turn around. And he takes that thing and he wails, wham! And she, you know, thanked him for it and then goes trotting off. So, okay. Now, one of the things, I don't know if you guys are ever going to be playing with women. Women can handle a lot more pain than men. And that's just, and everybody says the reason why they can give birth. But whatever reason, women are much more hardcore in average than men. They can handle a lot more. So you like it, huh?
It's beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The reason why I like the 3-footers, why this is a Pacatoni special, I'm tall. If I'm playing in a room that has an 8-foot ceiling, I want really badly to not be whacking into things. I agree. It's wonderful. Now, I've owned probably 20 of those. So why don't I have them here? Where are they? Yeah, you know why. Because my style is that if I'm teaching a new sir, a new dom, who impresses the shit out of me, I will present him with the toy. And I'll just go get more. Because it has historic resonance. It helps the man understand that he's part of something larger than himself, that he's part of a history, that he's part of an ongoing progression, that he has taken his place in an on-rushing history, and that his day will come when maybe he will present something to some eager newbie, you know, eager learner. But the whole point is that it's a sign of respect. It's a sign that this has been precious to me, and now it's precious to you. Carry it forth and do good in the world. So it has great meaning to people.
I love the energy.
Oh, yeah. But more than that, see, what I do is that I add to it, is that I'll make a ceremony out of it. I do this all the time. The reason why is because, as an elder, I've learned that the most important job that I have is to bless. And why don't you stand up here, brother? Yeah. So let's say that this handsome man right here has earned my respect. I say, okay, bring the toy. You know, now that I've seen you in action with it in public and you've got your report cards from everybody, bring the toy. And so they bring it to me and I say, turn him around, and I present him to everyone. And I say, this is why I'm proud of him. This is what I have discovered. This is what I see in his heart. This is why I respect him so much. This man is worthy of admiration, and I declare him as a man among us. And if someone who will always have my support and friendship. And what I'm doing as somebody with a lot of prestige and not prestige, what's the word? Credibility in the community. I'm just handing a great big lump of it over to this man. So that this man, whoever is watching, goes, ooh, new daddy on the block. I'm ready for some of that. But they're all saying, if Papa Tony likes it, he must be a good man. And this man will then stand a little taller and puff his chest out a little bit more because he's being respected for who he is, not just, you know, looks. Because we get so much of that in our culture about, you know, who's got the biggest dick, the biggest muscles, whatever. But this is esteem about character, about learning, about willingness to go through the flames and to earn that trophy, to earn that respect. So I do that too. So we'll talk more about that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yay, brother.
Yeah. Like I said, a vendor up in LA, but there's a lot of vendors that sell these. So just go online and look for leather panel, you know, wooden handle. It really is a nice one. Like I said, it's great. Now, Larry, would you be so kind to stand over here for a second? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, we got to cover that one. So, yeah, so let's hold off on the demo for the moment. Yes. Now, what he just did perfectly is he, instead of doing a circular motion, he went like that. So it was a straight energy. That's what causes the whip to crack. So we'll cover that. So this one here, this is for the mouthy bottom. This is for the mouthy bottom that has worn out four other tops. Go, that all you got? That all you got? This one will get his attention. Okay, this one here will rough up the skin very thoroughly. But made out of soft rubber. So it's more intimidating to look at than anything else. Now, why don't we pass around that flogger you just had? Now, this one is very light, but this one is actually pretty nice. You would think this light flogger that he's going to be passing around is just some loose-ass thing that you would hit a two-year-old with to make him giggle. You can, but it also is very spanky. We'll be covering that. See, it is surprisingly intense when you throw it in a particular way. If you just throw it in a regular way, then it's just like, you know, being, you know, pet the kitty, pet the kitty. But there's a particular way to throw it where it absolutely, it's like shooting them with a rifle. You know, and yes, that is desirable. So what's with the socks? Larry, would you please demonstrate with one of the floggers? Or anything. Okay. So let's say he needs to pack this away. That one I tend to fold in half for this. But so I learned this from Travis, you know, only just a few years ago. But so then he inserts his arm in the stocking, makes a sock puppet. Then using the sock puppet's mouth, he grabs the end just like that and then pulls the sock over it. So what's the point? It's really annoying to open up a toy bag and there's tangled up leather straps everywhere and you can't find anything and digging through a lot of knots and stuff. So it's quite nice. Okay, so what we've got left, that's funny. This is the cricket ball. Now, I have never really used it in, I mean, I got that, I think, at some recent vendor fair. It's got an actual honest-to-God cricket ball on the top, and I joke that it's great for mashing crickets. But, you know, it's meant to be thuddy, you know, to use it. You only use something like this on large pieces of muscle. Certainly don't do it where the bone is close to the surface. So that's... It's probably going to go into the rarely used bin before too much longer, but I figure as long as it's in there. So, yes, so let's go to the end cap, and let's go find the restraint. Oh, yeah. Okay, so another panel. So this one here is a real severe thing. If I was going to use it as a paddle like Smack Smack, I generally don't. You know what I do? I leave this in the freezer. It's made out of solid aluminum. So after I've gotten somebody real roughed up, I'll grab this and start laying it on their body. And they jump up. They jump through their skin with this, yeah. So the restraint's not there? The little pointy thing?
Yeah.
I don't see any of. Yeah, I'm wondering what happened. Yeah, somebody's being sloppy. Luckily, we've got a whole box of. Yeah, that's what we want. You don't. You forgot it was in there, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, yeah, he hates this thing. And you're about to see why. Now this pointy little thing that's so goddamn sharp, I mean, it's really lethally sharp, is actually a restraint. So let's pass it around.
Neither.
Another what?
Bag for
it. I agree. You know, just plain leather isn't enough. It's so sharp. So what the hell is it? It's actually what's called a squid gig. What it is, it glows in the dark. The handle there, the plastic handle. You hold it to a bright light. You toss it into the water. Squid goes, ooh, I'm going to fuck that.
It's a real fishing
lure. Yeah, it is. Real fishing lure. And so the squid wraps itself around it and goes, and gets hooked. And you pull it in. Well, it also is really nice for thrashers. Somebody who, no matter what the hell you do, they still thrash too much. So you take that and you put it, and you have them face down, naked on the bed, and you put it on the crack of their ass. And if they try and flex a part of their ass in order to rise and thrash, they'll regret it.
So you just lay it on.
Just lay it right on there. And it will make sure that they hold really still. So then, in the other extreme, now to the other extreme, we have toilet paper bondage. Any of you ever done that?
No.
Okay. It's pretty cruel. So, really. But so then you take toilet paper and you bind someone up and you say, if you break that toilet paper, the scene ends immediately and you'll have to leave. And your job is to try and get him to break it. Well, they're terrified. They don't want the scene to end. They want to impress the Big Sur. They want really badly for this to continue. And your torment, yeah, we'll get to that. Thank you. Okay. The other one there? Yeah, why don't you show me the other one, too?
Is that?
No, the one that's in the container. Thank you. I mean, that one would have been a good one, too. These are very common. So just to make sure that you're clear, the purpose of the toilet paper bondage is mind fuck. It's meant to convince them that it prevails upon them not to screw this up. Because if they screw up by thrashing or, you know, otherwise breaking that toilet paper, then you're going to cruelly toss them out on the street, you know, and throw their clothes after them, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's a great mind fuck. There's all sorts of really good mind fucks. One of the things I have loved to do is where I'll have them all bound up, and then just before I put the hood on, I'll take a plastic container, an old plastic container, and it's full of dog hair and dust bunnies, and rusted scalpels and hooks and, you know, dental picks and stuff like that, and razor blades and pins. And it's all nasty, dirty shit. And I'll shake it in their face and I'll say, I hope you're up on your tetanus shots. And then I'll blindfold them. Well, of course, I don't use any of that stuff on them. I'll use my favorite thing is to take a dog bone, you know, because it's got slightly large, sharp edges on it, but not enough to cut. And I'll start using the edge on them and they think I'm using that rusty shit on them. And they're just freaking out. And they're getting very, very, very stimulated and endorphinated. So this is a Wartenberg wheel. What it's used for is by doctors. So that let's say my fingers are starting to become numb because of nerve degeneration. It's where he does this and yes, I feel it. Okay, I don't feel it anymore. He knows at which point where the numbness starts. Okay. Well, it's very handy for, you've got somebody hooked up to this so that they're stretched out on the St. Andrew's cross. And you've been using thud. Well, the goal is to switch things around so that they never know what's coming next, whether it's ice water or whether it's, you know, your breath or whether it's the whiskers on your cheeks that are sharp, or you pull this out. And what it's best used for is on the tender portions that are usually ticklish, okay, up along the sides, down here at the belt of Apollo, up, you know, in anything that's sensitive inside the armpit, especially the back of the arm, so that what you're doing is that you're just stimulating the crap out of them. And it's changing over and changing again and changing again. So this is just one more tool. Now, this one, I think, has seven Wartenberg wheels. I rarely ever use that. This one's usually plenty. Why don't you show them the little one? Yeah, I'm getting real, real dry here. I think I'm going to get some water soon. Anybody need to take a water break or pee break? Okay, why don't we take a 5-minute bio break and just keep passing this around?
That's plastic.
Yeah. That one's designed for kinksters. The Wharton Bay Whale is for a doctor. Yeah. This one's purely for kinksters, the little black plastic one.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, I've used it on you. Okay, this little purple bunny right here has a button on the bottom. It vibrates. So somebody's restrained, somebody's hard, somebody's excited and horny, and they say, the only way you'll be allowed to come is from the vibrations of this. So you better work towards that right now, because you're not going anywhere until you do that. And it's amazing how fast they'll come. It's just that kind of stimulation, just right on. Let's say this is their dick, just gently, just rubbing it. It's amazing how fast it happens. So, all right. Button. It's a toggle.
Press this button. You remember that?
Well, it's been Bob's thing more than yours.
Yeah, a lot of these. Yeah.
All right. So, I'm going to need some water. Yeah. All right. So the reason why Larry's doing all this work with all the different stuff is it's his job to put it all back in.
I was noticing the socks because it's a lot of the right socks.
Not my problem, Slater. All right. So, not just pea break. Does anybody want a protein drink? It's really nuts. Low, 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 low sugar. Lots of protein. They're quite nice. It's from Costco. I use them. I love them. Chocolate, it tastes like pudding, and it's good for you. Help yourself, have as many as you want. I'm going out of town. Come on over.
I've seen those.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to try it. I mean, my nutritionist, my diet coach, my doctor, everybody just adores them. I mean, read the instructions. The ingredients are so good. Anybody else wants them, just come up and grab. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're exquisite. They're so good. I've been using these for years. It's great for keeping my blood sugar up, but not too much.
I have seen a lot of regular strengths. I've never seen one like that.
Yeah, it's a very high-end one. I think that one, that regular strength, is from Mr. S. You can get cheaper ones, but this one just works. It's wonderful. Now, what I love doing with that, I have to say, the leg restraint, is that it comes with a bunch of identical keys. So they'll very elaborately, you know, attach them with lock on leg restraints, and then I'll take the keys and I say, watch this, and I'll throw the keys across the room. I said, if you need them, they're over there. Oh, excellent. Yeah, they're all sampling this delightful... Yeah, no. So take a break, you guys. Whatever works, brother. Yeah. See, since you've already got the cracking down, the most important thing is learning how to do it without hitting yourself in the face. I'll be teaching you that. Or in the arm. I'm learning about you.
So am I.
It's a voyage of discovery.
I'm curious. Do you both want to be tops, or do you want to be tops?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Be open to possibility.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about that in terms of the framing, and there's nothing wrong here.
No, yeah.
Our culture tends to put us in a box. So, of course, he's a top. You know, he's always going to be a top. Or, you know, you've heard the derogatory things that people say. Oh, Tarzan in the streets and Jane in the sheets. Or, you know, other derogatory things. Because everybody wants a top. And if somebody is not 100% of what they're looking for, then they'll make fun of them. And it's harmful. You know, it's not kind. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. It just brings this topic up. So it's very important to accept the fact that we all have wonderful possibilities in many different directions. Now, having said that, by nature, my fantasies are top. They really are. I would have no trouble at all taking a nice big dick anywhere it wants to go and be happy about it. That's not generally where my fantasies lie. And I've never been anybody submissive. Back when I was younger, I was always a sir in training. It's just me. I don't see it as good or bad or better or worse. It just is what it is. It's just me.
I'm probably about 65%.
That's fine. And it may change from week to week. That's okay, too.
I find it interesting that some people can paint themselves that way. They can just say that, make a blanket statement like that.
Yeah.
Because when I think top and bottom, I think the activity.
Mm-hmm.
When I think control, I'm thinking dominance.
That's very true.
So there were some things that somebody might want to be taught here, and there are other things that they only want to be taught.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the, I mean, I'll be talking about this at more, you know, at extended length later, but how to break out of the box, because people will type cluster. If you show up as a top for three events, then at that point, people will expect you to always be, and they'll, you know, they'll do little, oh, little microaggressions to try and keep you in that space. What you have to do is you have to aggressively bust out of that and go in a totally new direction just so that they can, you keep them guessing. Because the last thing you want is to have people, you know, make, like I said, act like you're a plaster saint on the shelf that never changes. Because we all have changes. You know, we all go through what we go through. So what I would like, while we're on break, is I'm going to demonstrate the flame whips. Okay, they're in here. I'll show you what we're doing. I'm not going to demonstrate on a human being. Breathe easy, Larry. Okay. Okay. Set them aside. Okay, so I went to the event and did not wear this until just before it was time for us to perform. And okay. This goes down the back. Would you help me put this in my pocket or something? Okay. It's kind of tangled. Hang on. Okay. I think. Okay. That should be fine. So just click that. There you go. Okay. So, everybody's not back yet, so I'll probably wait. But I'll... Okay. Doing, I'm not doing, oh, it's because this thing popped out. That's what threw me off. I'll try it here. Tuck it into the underwear. Ha! All right, so, doing, first I would do it very slowly, because it looks interesting when you do it slowly. And then as I got more forcible, then I would increase it in different ways. All right, back to my smack myself. Anyway, so that's impressive, isn't it?
That's cool.
Well, nobody had done this before. See, what this is, there's all sorts of different moves you can do. I haven't been practicing lately, so I'm a little rusty, but I was doing a little bit of over-my-head fountain work just a moment ago. But there's all sorts of different moves you can do that are not necessarily kinky, but they're showy. Mm-hmm. So, click, 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 and it goes off. So that's what I was doing the other night as the grand finale. Cool. Huh? Mm. So this is electroluminescent wire. EL wire is dirt common. This is neoprene, like you'd use for a wetsuit, but it's been baked. So it's light, but very supportive. Oh, I'm sorry. You missed some of the show, didn't you?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, say what?
I thought
I'll
figure it out.
No, I'll just go for it. But anyway, so that I was saying, I didn't realize you weren't back. I'm sorry, I'm not good at doing math. Let's see if I can fit it in the underwear again. This cable's really not long enough for me. I have a long torso, but so I go click, and it goes into solid light. This has 32 different modes. Okay. I go click, click. Again, it goes into a separate mode where I can control the colors differently and the pattern differently, where I click again, and it goes into a different set of colors. Well, if I go click, click one more time, then it gives me more choices with the flickering. And so then doing the different moves. Now, what I had Larry do is that I had him wear a vest and a T-shirt, because this thing is a bitch when you get hit. I mean, even pain pigs don't like it. It's showy, but it's not practical. It's for show, not for go. Okay. But so that's what I was doing, is doing this sort of work in the dark bar. And they gave me plenty of room, I assure you. So there you go. So we'll cover more with that. Click, 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 and it turns it off. I have two sets of these. Pardon?
Is there some other light fiber that isn't as thin?
Well, that's the thing. This is rather light here, but the one I have in the two that I have in the other room, it's much thicker. And oh man, they just are not flexible at all. But they make up for it by this part pivoting on a hinge. No, not a hinge, like a, you know, a roller bearing or something. Yeah, swivel. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Well, they don't really intend for you to use it on a human being. All right, so back to it. I hope everybody's recording. That is for people at, let's say, Burning Man, to be up on stage going, you know, you watch videos, and it's a bunch of stone people up on stage just doing this and doing that. But some technical poi. Anybody hear about technical poi? You have, of course. Okay, thank you. You're of the world, baby. Anyway, so then POI. And if you're at a luau, and the Hawaiian males have these flaming balls on strings and they're whipping around, that sort of stuff, that's poi. It also refers to food, but that's another topic. But anyway, so then poi, the internet is jam full of instructional videos that teach you how to do that, how to do different moves. People use different things, like, for instance, any of you old enough to remember such a thing is gay flagging. Are you familiar with that, where you have the colorful cloth and all that sort of stuff? That's been part of our culture for decades. Straight people have now taken it on. That's what they do. You know, they see us doing stuff and they want to be us. My comment to Larry about the event that I went to, that we went to the other night, is I said, these people. Anyways, so what I see, I'm going to diverse. I'm going to go digress. I'm going to go into sidebar for a moment. Straight people really want to be us, as I've explained before. They want so badly to have heroes. They want to have our history. They want to have, they want to be us. How do I know this? I can wear full leather gear and go into the trendiest damn heterosexual cruising spot, bar in San Diego, where people have purple mohawks and neck tattoos and great big beautiful earlobe plugs and all the rest of that stuff. And I win just by walking in. They all want to be me. I'm the most popular guy in the building because I'm hardcore. I've been around for decades. I've been there where they are now. They're open, they're creative, they're full of possibility. Well, I was a long time ago, and I still am. And people are so starved for that. They don't realize, I mean, that most gay men do not realize how lionized we are. We are really popular out there. If we just stick our nose out of the tent, it's like, yay, there they are. I'm very certain that people would have been a lot friendlier with us if we had been friendly with them. But we were kind of tense and we were broadcasting it. But I'm pretty certain that after our performance, if we'd have stuck around, we would have been carried around the room on people's shoulders practically. You know, they really loved what we were doing and how we did it. Because they don't get to see men being intimate very often. There's such a cultural bias against that. If you go to the rope classes, then it's heterosexual males with their submissive females. And that's it. And one time, four of us gay men went to the rope class. And we were tying each other up. And it just freaked everybody else out. They'd never seen it before. They didn't quite know how to deal with it. They weren't hostile. They just didn't have any frame of reference for that because they're so locked into the roles that they have. So anyway, so having explained all this, I'm giving you the cultural background. We're doing the toy bag tour. I'm going to have to stay focused on that. So I've covered a lot of stuff, but there's so much more. Like we'll be covering clothespins, which are up in that cabinet there, the big bucket of clothespins. I don't know. I mean, that's something we'll do in a demo. But you guys have all seen clothespins. This is more about what you have not seen. There's so much more. You know, there's so many things that we can be doing, and some of them may not be your cup of tea, but do give them a try, you know, both on the top and the bottom, just to see what the effect is. People always recommend that, and frankly, bottoms respect you more if you say, yes, I tried it on myself, because then you go, oh, okay, at least he knows what, you know, the parameters are here. Because, you know, they'll say, oh, the best tops are the former bottoms. That's, you know, I've got my bias, but, you know, a lot of people will say that. It's never been my thing, but, you know, I'm going to judge you guys, the men who are here in this room. You are here because you're hungry for a particular style of Don, as I've expressed, someone who is sensitive, someone who's perceptive, someone who can relate, someone who allows everybody to win. See, that's what we're talking about. That's what all of this is about. Is getting you to the point where you can create magic from moment to moment based on nothing but impulse, but trusting the impulse. That's what I'm going to be teaching. That's my style. I'm not going to be doing an awful lot of technical, this is, you must do A, then B, then C. I'll cover some of that. But most of it has to do with being creative. And most of it has to be open to possibility. Because things change from moment to moment. Trusting yourself is really important. That's what we're going to be working on. I'm going to be helping you develop that trust in yourself. But that confidence that you carry will absolutely rule the day every time you go out and do stuff. When I was joking the other night, and I'm not sure it came across in the audio as being a joke about me being a predator, I talk about that with him. I mean, it's a very loaded term, so I feel embarrassed that I used it. But I want to explain that, meaning that when I go anywhere, I can create magic from moment to moment based on experience, based on knowledge of what's underneath, and creating new possibilities for people where everybody goes home absolutely thrilled and excited and gratified. Well, in order to do that, first you have to know what you're good for. Now, who here has taken the Myers-Briggs personality test? Beautiful. You both have. Okay, now what were you again? This will be on the test.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. How about you, Ian? How about you?
I don't remember. I think ENTJ,
but okay, that's fine. So, but my reason for bringing it up, it's key. Okay, I do a lot of mentoring, a lot. And I've found that the Myers-Briggs personality test is a great way to get a baseline understanding of somebody else. The whole concept behind it is, please understand me so that I can understand you. It's about reaching across the distance and not just expecting us all to fit into the same damn box. I speak for myself, just for me. I've had a whole lifetime of people telling me, why can't you be normal? Why can't you, you know, do that what those virtuous people over there are doing? Well, I've never been like those people. I don't think that way. I learn differently than they do. I assume differently than they do, and that's okay. The purpose of why I have people take the test, you know, and I'll give the URL on the page when I post this audio. The reason why it's so important is because it gives you the gift of seeing yourself from outside yourself. When you take it seriously, when you look up the information that you can find on the internet about your particular personality type, it gives you agreement that you're fine the way that you are. That when people rank on you because you don't learn the same way as other people do, whatever that is, there's nothing wrong with you. My position when I'm coaching, that's why I'm talking about this now, is that the things that make you, to other people, broken, inappropriate, outré, fucked up, whatever, are actually your superpowers. When you learn to love them and to own them, you know, the things that made me unhirable. I got laid off 7 times in 8 months before I finally found my career because I pissed off managers in every direction because I could always think of a better, faster, easier way to do stuff. And then when I try and initiate it, they'd say, put it back and do it the right way. It's like, I'm not built for the traditional job market. And I thought there was something seriously wrong with me. And I took the test and realized, oh, my God, it's okay. I'm naturally an entrepreneur. I'm going to work for myself. And that was 37 years ago, and I've been so happy ever since. But first, you have to understand yourself. Rather than trying to fit yourself into the reference that everybody else... Why don't we close that door again? Don't want bugs flying in the house. Thank you. Yeah, I'm seeing bugs flying by, beelining for the house. Anyways, it's really important that you love who you are as you are now, because our culture says otherwise. You know, come back when you're younger. Maybe next lifetime when you've got a bigger dick. Maybe, you know, your hair is too gray. Maybe your belly's too small. Maybe, who knows? We're so worried about that in other people. You know, how are they judging me? Are they judging me as less than? As Larry will tell you, I mean, you guys have seen me in public, I'm sure. I carry myself with joy. I know who I am. I love who I am. That's why I'm going to be, the direction I'm going to be taking you guys is absolutely being clear that you're fine the way you are and how to own your flaws, including your foibles, and laughing about it. Like I've talked about this. I know I'm probably repeating myself, but it's so important that what I'm really doing with these classes, I'm teaching confidence. That's number one product. Because what if you're wonderful the way you are, and all you need is just some information on which way to go, and you're going to take off like a rocket ship. So think about a Saturn booster, a Saturn V booster. You know, if you look at the rockets that took man to the moon, there's a little tiny tip at the top where the human being is, and the rest of it's booster. That's me. For you guys, what I'm doing is that I'm helping you get up to orbit. Once you're there, then you're going to take off for the stars on your own, and I'm going to be glad. I'm going to be there with the pom-poms. But first, you need to get up to orbit, and that's what my job is. That's what I do. I get you confident. I show you how big and strong your wings really are. I help you to understand that, you know, that what you're doing is right and how you're learning is right, and that even if you're clumsy when you first start trying stuff, then it's fine. There's nothing wrong. See, the problem with us as males, let's leave aside the whole gay, leave aside the whole kinky thing. Again, we're expected, so much of us, to know and understand stuff. But how are we going to know? Did Dad teach us this stuff? No. Did our loving uncle somewhere teach us this? No. So when are we going to fucking have it, you know, land upon our heads just out of heaven? It's not going to happen. So then when somebody who has been down this path ahead of you and loves you enough to want to help you, then you're going to get so much progress in such a short time. See, I'm used to doing this. This is what I do. I want you to succeed. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll turn heaven and earth upside down if that's what's called for each one of you. I'm absolutely committed to your excellence. I know I've said this before, but again, you notice what I'm not doing is I'm not using weasel words, like I said. I'm making a declaration. I'm putting my ass on the line. That's how I work. That's what a grown-up does. Takes responsibility. I'm taking full responsibility for your success. I want this. The reason why, again, my payoff is when I see you guys out there shining like lighthouses, when I see you succeeding, again, it causes transformational change wherever we go because we're admirable men. You know, I like you guys. I like who you are. I like how you show up. I like what you're doing. I like how you're doing it. I'll do whatever it takes because as a culture, we need men like you. We really do. However you are, flaws and all, we're starved for men who show up and start the party. You know, like I said, and it doesn't have anything to do with externals. Doesn't have anything to do with our programming. It doesn't have anything to do with the things that we learned when we were growing up. It has to do with just owning who you are. And you step forward with confidence in the world, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have any more flaws that you have to worry about. You know, like I said, the way I am now, you know, with all my flaws, and I'm okay with them. You know, I don't glory in them, but I'm also not going to apologize for them. And what happens is that wherever I go, okay, I'll give you a good example. I went to Mid-Atlantic Leather up in Washington, D.C. It's around the first of the year every year. And I went up with a prospective slave. Have I told this story where he locked me out of the room? You've heard it. They've heard it. Okay, so then I went up there with a guy who really wanted to be my slave. And we arrived at the beginning of the weekend, and immediately he started getting real crazy, really nutsy. And I think he forgot to bring his medication. And the first clue was he drank one little rum and coke, a little, short little glass, and starts going, "I am so drunk. I am so drunk. I am so," he must have said it 50 times consecutively. I said, "Okay, you're starting to alarm me here. Tell you what, why don't you calm down? Why don't you head on up to the room and I'll catch up with you shortly, because, you're acting a little odd." Well, he took it in his mind that that was somehow or another that I was rejecting him and that he was going to retaliate. He retaliated by deadbolting me out of my hotel room for the weekend. So I'm wearing shorts and tennis shoes and a t-shirt and a hat, ball cap. And it was winter time in Washington, D.C., so I didn't dare step out of the hotel room. Luckily, I had my wallet with me. And I was upset. I was not in any mood for anything. I just was like, I just want to read my book. I just want to relax. I'm going to sit here and wait for something to, something to change. Well, I was walking through the lobby, and there were like 600 men, 400, 600 men, whatever, cruising in full gear in the lobby. They're all cruising, strutting their stuff and trying to look as butch as possible and all that other shit. But as I'd walk through the crowd dressed like this, bodies would turn towards me. Heads would turn towards me. And I would stop and, go sit down and read a book or something. People come up to me and say, "I don't know what it is about you, but there's something different." I had one very cute guy come up to me and say, "I can tell there's something really different about you. You really know what you're doing, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "All my life I wanted to play with somebody who knew what the hell he was doing. Could we please play?" I said, "Sure." So I went up to his hotel room. I had no toys. I had my belt. I had my shoes. I had my hands. I had my teeth. I had my whiskers. Had, spanking. I had all that other stuff. And I spent a few hours just knocking him out of the park. He was so stimulated, so happy, so pleased. And I was just making it up as I went along. That's what I'll be teaching, how to do that. But the point is that I wasn't the tallest guy. I wasn't the most muscular. I certainly wasn't the youngest. I wasn't dressed up. But people could see there was something different. But that confidence is magnetic. And not fake confidence. Just truly knowing who you are and standing in your power. That's what these lessons are going to be about. It's not just about technique. I'm really going to do an awful lot of working with you individually, making it really clear that there's more to you than you've really owned so far. And I'm going to make sure that you're fully aware of it. See, what I do, I'm doing the zooming in on people. It's my talent. I'm gifted with that. It's just what I do. I have that kind of perception and I know how to use it. Not everybody does. That's okay. It's not required. So having expressed that, any questions, any concepts, anything about the toy bag, anything like that so far? Because I'm getting deep in the weeds of philosophy again. Sure.
Are there any, you said, Mr. Or what was the person who said the $15 bloggers?
That would be flogmebaby.com.
Is there any particular site or store you go to specifically for these? Or is that just...
We sent an email out a couple of weeks ago. They were having a special?
Yeah.
It's a little more than 15 now.
Yeah, but, not a lot. It's not like going up to $300.
So if your toys, you just kind of go through, you buy them, and you just kind of use it and see what you feel about them? Or
There's certain things that I do recommend. The purple ones that we started out with, absolutely, that's a number one thing I would do. I mean, ideally, in a really perfect world, you need two of them. Because I thought I was not ambidextrous. I spent decades telling myself, there is no fucking way. I am not ambidextrous. I have a really stupid left arm. I'm very strongly biased towards my right arm. I thought, there's no way I'll ever learn how to Florentine. I was so wrong. And I've taught so many people how to Florentine since then who had the same viewpoint. We disdain our idle hand, in my case, my left hand. But the fact of the matter is, it can keep up just fine. We just never practiced. We never tried. So we'll get to that. But my point was. Your question again.
Where is there any particular method or store you go to in particular that you have a preference towards for any bloggers or marketers?
Well, like I said, flogmebaby.com. I'll send you the recommendations page. I've got a lot of recommendations. You know, I really like Janet over at Carol at O'Kanigan Whips, but she's like 3 months behind right now, so it's very hard to get one. You know, you just have to get on the waiting list. But anyways, but starting with a flogger first and foremost, a good one. You know, ideally two if you ever want to learn how to do two-handed because it's fancy and it's nice. When I first really learned Florentine flogging, I went, oh, crap, I could have done this years ago. It's actually really, really nice. It's honestly preferable once you learn it to using just one flogger. It's kind of cool. You know, I mean, you saw it. It looks stylish, doesn't it? Yeah. Like I said, making a big splash when you arrive, you know, standing out from the crowd, being a peacock, baby. Nothing wrong with that. It's okay for men to be peacocks. And again, people respond on that level, that the man who is confident, the man who glows with knowing himself and loving himself is very attractive. I mean, really attractive. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Traditionally in the gay male market, the received wisdom is that when you get older, you turn into a troll. And, you know, you worry about that because, you know, men will look and then they'll look away when you walk in the room. That doesn't happen for leather doms. It just doesn't. I can tell you, I've known so many leather doms who are in absolutely no way porn actor shape. But they're endlessly, endlessly popular wherever the hell they go because people are not looking for porn at bodies from them. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking for experience. They're looking for fun. And like I said, if you take on a dom role, your value never drops unless you decide it does, ever. Your value only goes up. And just be aware of that. You know, it's a whole different viewpoint, a very, very different viewpoint, you know, that you, most guys just drift through life. They never really know what it is that they're capable of or where they've never taken any chances and they don't know when it's time to. They're always waiting for somebody else to do that, you know, tell them when. But what you guys are doing with this is that you're reaching out. You're saying, you know, what else is there? Well, that's my job is to reach back and make sure that you know. Like I said, I'm absolutely dedicated. So enough about that. So this pretty much concludes the toy bag portion of it. I've been starting to get into philosophy again. I tend to do that when you give me half a chance. But let's do a little bit of hands-on demo. I'm going to close the garage door.